Welcome back, party people. We are here for another episode of Legally Dirty Blonde, and today we are talking about day 20 of the Depp versus Heard defamation trial. We had three in-person witnesses today, if you can believe that. Yes, in person. They were all experts there to talk on behalf of Amber Heard, and we've got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. So before we get into this, two things I have to bring up. Number one, I'm going to finish the story at the end, but there was apparently a fight that broke out outside of the courthouse last night waiting to get into the... Basically, people have been lining up for days in advance to get seats inside the courthouse, and there was a little bit of a physical fight that happened. So I'll explain that at the end, so stay tuned for that. But also, before we get started, I just want to point out to everybody that at the end of last week, Amber Heard only had 8 hours left of time. And Johnny Depp had, I think, 18 hours or so. So keep that in mind. And in case people don't know, let me quickly explain. Both sides were given equal time at the start of the trial. I think it was 60 or 65 hours. The time counts whenever they are asking questions, regardless of whose witness it is. So, for example, today Amber Heard is calling her witnesses. Her lawyers are going to ask questions on direct examination. That time counts against Amber. When Johnny's lawyers get up and they cross-examine those witnesses, that time is going to count against Johnny. So it doesn't matter if it's your witness or their witness. It's however long you take to question the witness. So first up today, we have Dr. Moore. Dr. Moore is an expert, and he is an orthopedic surgeon. So he is testifying on behalf of Amber, and he was there in person today, like I said. And Rottenborn was doing his direct examination. We haven't heard from Rottenborn in a while. It's been the Elaine show. So basically, he talked about the finger fracture, and he's testifying to causation. He's basically saying, like, how the incident happened. We know there's two different stories so far about this. We have Amber's story, which is that he cut it on the phone, or he bashed it on the phone, and Johnny's story is that she threw the bottle at him, and that's what happened. So he describes, he talks about the injury, and he said it's called the transverse fracture. And what that means, it's basically the fracture happens perpendicular from the way the bone is. So if it's in your finger, think about your finger, not the long way. So like the fracture doesn't happen the long way. The fracture happens horizontally. So like we know it was the top of his finger. So that makes sense, right? He also talked about how it's called a comminuted fracture. And what does that mean? It basically means that like the bone has like, it's a crush injury. So it's like there's pieces of bone all around it. And that can be seen on the x-ray, or so he says. Now, side note about these x-rays. We got two x-rays to look at, and everybody knows I am not a medical expert myself, but I do happen to have one in the family, and that's my dad. He's a medical doctor. I had him look at these terrible copies of x-rays that I literally took screenshots of my phone. So this is in no way meant to be a diagnosis or anything even close to that, and he'll probably be annoyed that I even brought this up, but sorry, Dad, love you. He said it looks like there was an infection, so I'm like, that's weird, let me look at this. So I zoom out, and I'm looking at the x-ray, and I realize that the photos are from April 30th, 2015, so we know that this injury happened in March of 2015, so this is like at least over a month, a little bit over a month afterwards, and I just found that interesting, because I felt like he was testifying that they were from like immediately from the ER that day, you know, but my dad said, it looks like I can see that there's an infection. So I was like, let me look at this, because we know he did get an infection afterwards. Or I think he said he got two, he got MRSA. But anyway, that's not the point, just an interesting thing. Back to this expert, Dr. Moore. He said that this type of crush injury is usually caused by his finger, whatever it is, being slammed between two hard surfaces, like a car door or two doors or a sliding glass door. And it's not consistent with the story that Johnny told about. He says that Johnny said the bottle exploded. Now, this kind of confused me because I didn't remember Johnny Depp saying that the bottle exploded. There was no bomb in the vodka bottle. Yes, he said it exploded on impact, but no one thought that the bottle exploded on its own, or at least I certainly didn't think that. I thought Johnny made it pretty clear that he meant that the bottle exploded on impact. What do you guys think he said? I don't know. I didn't get that from the way... Obviously, this expert's going to try to characterize his testimony in a way that is favorable to Amber, but I don't know. Let me know what you think. But basically, he said that this wasn't consistent with the exploding story. You would have seen shards of glass in the injury, things like that. He also said the way, now this is important, the way that Johnny Depp's hand was placed on the bar, that he did a visualization for us on the stand, and he put it like flat on the table. And he said, you know, if this had happened and the bottle had hit his hand like this, he would have a lot more injuries to his hand. His fingernail would probably be gone. You just expect a lot more injury. The last thing Rottenborn gets him into on direct is about the cast. And he's like, you see this picture of the cast? Is this a hard cast or a soft cast? And you know what? At this point, I don't really give a shit what type of cast it is, because it hasn't come up yet. It has to do with the staircase incident. Keep it in mind. If it comes up, we'll address it. For now, I'm not going to get into it. Then we get on to Cross, and we have Queen Camille. Once again, she comes in hot with her cross. God, I love this woman. Immediately, she hits him with, wait, you testified that his hand was flat, but that's not what Mr. Depp said in his testimony, is it? Basically, she reads in his testimony, obviously, and it's that it was more like his fingers were sort of wrapped around the edge of the bar. This was apparently a big thing for the jury. Apparently, they started writing down furiously when they heard this inconsistency. This is from the DUI guy on Twitter. Check him out. He has some really good insight on, you know, he's observing the jury. So, you know, just some interesting stuff that I will not get to every day. And it's worth checking out. That's the DUI guy, like driving under the influence. We also find out that this dude is charging $1,000 an hour just to review the records and everything. And $5,000 a day for trial testimony. What did I tell you guys? This expert witness thing is a pretty good gig, isn't it? So basically on Cross with Camille, he ends up having to admit that, yes, a crush injury happens when it's between two objects, and that it could have been a vodka bottle. He also says that he can't rule out that a vodka bottle caused the injury. He says that he can rule out how it happened and that it wasn't the way that Mr. Depp described. It's worth pointing out that this dude never examined Johnny or his finger at all. He has never even met him. He is basing his opinion solely off of the medical records and the testimony we've heard so far. Camille shows him some pictures of the bar area. There's blood on the floor. We've seen the pictures. They should be on the Instagram. If they're not, let me know and I'll post them, but I'm pretty sure I did. He's like, I've never seen these images before. So obviously the dude hasn't looked at all the testimony and all the evidence. There's a brief redirect by Rottenborn about the size of the vodka bottle that was thrown. Ultimately, that's it for Dr. Moore. He's all done. Now, I have to say that overall, I think we are spending a lot of time on this finger injury. The finger injury, like, I don't know, guys, it really means little to nothing to me, unless we are proving again that Amber Heard's just a big fat liar and her story doesn't add up. But, like, what does this have to do with defamation and what's going on in this legal case? I understand why it's important to their personal stories, but it's really not important to defamation. He is claiming that she lied about him abusing her. So what does it matter if she threw the bottle, if he threw the bottle, or whoever the fuck threw the bottle? It literally has nothing to do with whether or not Johnny Depp abused Amber Heard. So I think Amber Heard's team wasted a lot of time with this issue today. And just in general, I think this was a lot of wasted time on this issue that for me doesn't really matter to the legal conclusion of this case. But anyway, then we get into probably the most entertaining witness of the day. He was very interesting, and you guys are definitely going to want to check out the Instagram on him that I'm going to post. So Dr. Spiegel, he is a psychiatrist, and he is an expert on behalf of Amber Heard. And when I tell you that they must have literally been like, yo, get me the most insane-looking psychiatrist ever. Well, that's what we got with Dr. Spiegel. He didn't do himself or Amber Heard any favors, in my opinion, guys. I wish I could show you through this podcast like how weird he was. But he was weird and inappropriate, so let's talk about it. Interesting point about experts here. Basically, you have to put up your expert's creds and say, you know, tell us your background, and then the other side has to agree and say, like, okay, we agree that this person's an expert too. Now, this was the first time in this case that we didn't see Johnny Depp's team or you know, we didn't see it on either side agree off the bat. Yeah, we agree to this person's expertise. They did a voir dire of this guy. You know, they were like, we want to hear about his credentials a little bit more. So basically, attorney Dennison for Johnny Depp got up there and said, I have some questions. Let me check your background, bro. So he asked him some questions, and it was like super cringeworthy, guys, because at one point this expert is like, thanks for letting me plug my book. Like, what? Read the motherfucking room, bro. Like, you are not here to plug your book. I can tell you that much. It just came off bad from the bat. And this all happens in front of the jury. And ultimately, Johnny Depp's team says, like, we object to him being admitted as an expert on intimate partner violence because we don't think he has expertise in this. The judge is like, listen, Like, also, let me point out that this never gets, it's generally never granted unless the person has, like, absolutely no background in whatever they're saying they're an expert on. Like, it's really not easy to get that objection granted, but, or sustained, I should say. But overall, this was in front of the jury, and the jury, you know, it just puts them on alert that, like, wait, what's up with this guy? He seems a little suspect. Let's keep an eye on him. So, I gotta say, guys, first and foremost, this guy is a quack. Yes, I'm calling him a quack because that's exactly what he is. Go, like I said, go look at the Instagram post. You will see exactly what I mean. Quack, quack. Call him Donald Duck because he's a fucking quack. But okay, this guy never treated Johnny either. He never evaluated Johnny. He's never even met Johnny. So take out of his testimony what you will. This is, again, the second psych expert we've seen them present that has never even treated Johnny, never even met Johnny. And I think it's, like, really fucking ballsy to try to make conclusions about somebody's mental status when you've never met them. I mean, you tell me, what do you guys think? So, also, let me just point out one more time in case we have any new people here. The reason that they weren't able to get a psych eval on Johnny is because he didn't put his mental health at issue in this case the way Amber Heard did. Amber Heard said, oh, I have PTSD because of the defamatory statements Adam Waldman made and, like, all the people hate me on the internet now. Johnny never claimed any injury, you know, any mental injury from this. So she tried to get Johnny to have to undergo a psych eval, and the judge was like, no, honey, that's not how this works. You did that yourself. But just something to point out. So overall, this dude testified, again, this expert psychiatrist who never treated Johnny Depp testified, and it's like, I'm sorry, I find this so offensive that I actually think it's, like, really dangerous that an expert psychiatrist is going to get up there and say that you can make diagnoses like this. But anyway, I digress. So he testified that Johnny Depp exhibits behaviors that are consistent with somebody who is a perpetrator of intimate partner violence. So never having met Johnny Depp, he's like, yeah, he's definitely an abuser. He said that Johnny Depp is a polysubstance abuser. Shocker, am I right? And that his drug use affected his cognitive ability and that he has shown a clear cognitive decline, and he pointed to things like using an earpiece during filming. I know, we'll get there. Don't flip out. We're going to get to the earpiece on cross. But he basically says that the only reason a 50-somewhat-year-old man would need to have lines read to him is because he has cognitive issues. Okay. He also testified to a connection between substance abuse, DV, and cognitive disorders. He says from watching Johnny Depp's deposition testimony, it's clear that he has cognitive issues because he answered questions slowly and didn't answer them quickly enough for this doctor's liking. Now, I have to say something about this, guys. For all of my thoughtful, slow-speaking people out there, fuck this guy. We know you don't have cognitive issues, you just care about the words that come out of your mouth, unlike this asshole. Also, I don't think this will go over well. Why? Because the jury has watched this whole trial, and they've seen Johnny testify, and, like, you tell me, like, did that man come across as having cognitive, like, a cognitive disability? Because I didn't get that. Sure, he talks a little bit slower than the rest of us, but I'm from New York, and not everybody's from New York, and a lot of people don't talk as fast as I do, so anyway, then he starts talking about some of the drugs that we know Johnny was on, prescription drugs, specifically Seroquel and Gabapentin, also known as Neurontin. You probably have heard of both of these, but guys, like I've said, I'm no medical expert, but I am a medical malpractice defense attorney with a doctor for a father and a nurse as a mother, and I've learned a few things over the years, just a few, you know. Anybody that doesn't even have those family members or isn't a medical malpractice attorney could probably tell you that what he had to say was pretty much incorrect. He told us that Seroquel is mainly used for sleeping. This is, for a psychiatrist to say this, it's absurd. This is not correct. Seroquel is an antipsychotic drug. Sure, it can be used to calm antipsychotic people, but I don't know. It's not mainly used for sleeping. That is an overstatement. He also said that gabapentin is, like I said, also Neurontin, is solely a seizure medication. When I tell you that I have actually never seen this prescribed for seizures in my years of doing medical malpractice, I'm not kidding. Yes, it is for that, and I'm not going to say it's not. But I generally see it prescribed to treat nerve pain. And go ask anybody that you know, I bet you they'll agree with you. He also said that it was only used to treat one pain condition and that it was an off-label treatment. This is, like, actually just factually incorrect, and I don't know what else to say about that. Then he goes on to talk about how Johnny Depp definitely has narcissistic personality disorder, and he starts describing all of these things, like jealousy and the need to be admired and the need to be noticed. And I was like, does he mean Amber? Is he actually talking about Amber? But he basically says that narcissistic personality disorder is a risk for intimate partner violence. Again, making this connection that Johnny Depp is definitely an abuser, even though he's never met him. Then at the end of his direct, his attorneys get into this weird thing called the Goldwater Rule. And they were definitely trying to like get ahead of some damage that might occur on cross. But they talk about this Goldwater Rule that was basically, it was basically made to stop clinicians from making armchair diagnoses, like without treating a patient. So like when he started to say this, I was like, so yeah, so you're saying that everything you're talking about is bullshit, right? So he was trying to say that it's different from what he's doing because he looked at the therapy records and the testimony. So it's not the same thing. Okay. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't think that what he's doing is any different from armchair diagnosing. Sure, you can look at some records, but it's not much different in my opinion. Then we get to cross. And to be fair, this dude crumbled on cross. He did exactly what you're not supposed to do as an expert witness on cross. He got really mad and personally insulted. It started off the bat when attorney Dennison questioned whether him trying to diagnose Johnny Depp without treating him was ethical, like under psychiatric standards. He didn't love that question, guys. He really didn't. He got pissed off the bat. He's asked about the ethical rule from the American Psychiatric Association, and he literally says, it's not a rule. It's more like guidelines. And all I could say thinking about that was like, dude, I think you were watching some Jack Sparrow before you came in here today. If you don't know what I mean, just know that we figured the code was more like guidelines. Especially pirates think that. He came across as very pompous and rude. He was fighting with the attorney. It was just not a good look, not a good look to the jury. He also got scolded by the judge at least twice. He was told, like, sir, you just need to answer the question. We don't like that. The jury doesn't like that. He also says that he actually wasn't diagnosing Johnny Depp with narcissistic personality disorder, which, like, yes, he was. He's backtracking and trying to fix what he said. So aside from getting him on a lot of these, like, general statements he was making about people who abuse drugs and people who are perpetrators of intimate partner violence, they got him on not knowing the evidence in this case. Two things that stood out. Number one, you know the picture that we've seen a lot? It's of Johnny and he's passed out, or so they say he's passed out, and there's ice cream spilled on him and he's sleeping. He kept saying that this was puke. I mean, he kept referring to it as vomitus, as if like you're too fucking smart and cool to say vomit or just like throw up. I don't know. Anyway, he kept saying like, yeah, that's vomit. We all know that it's not vomit. The entire jury has been here the entire time and we know that it's ice cream. So why are you saying that it's vomit? He keeps insisting that he was told that it was vomit. Well, dude, it's your job to know the evidence. It's no one's fault but your own. And if that's what you thought, you're obviously not paying attention. Also, we get to the earpiece. I told you we'd get to it. Now, remember, there were claims that Johnny needed an earpiece to have lines fed to him. Then we heard from his sound tech guy that said that's not true. He was being fed music that he wanted to listen to. Basically, Dr. Spiegel here is trying to say that, well, you know, he obviously had a cognitive decline if he needs lines read to him at the age of 50. Well, if he's listening to music, does that still mean he has a cognitive decline, sir? Like, isn't that what you're basing your whole testimony on? He says, maybe I'm wrong. And I'm like, yeah, dude, maybe you are wrong, and maybe you didn't actually pay attention to the evidence or the trial testimony that you said that you reviewed. Overall, I thought the cross was okay for Johnny. It ended up well because the guy looked like a total asshole, fraud, and quack of a doctor. But I'm not gonna lie, it doesn't always feel like it's good during this cross with Dennison. He's not as surgical and precise with the cross-examination as Camille is, but he does definitely get there at the end of it. He discredits the witness and you kind of walk away like, yeah, wait, that person said they were an expert? Like, yeah, that person's a dummy. So, not gonna lie, this witness kind of did this to himself because he was just acting like such a pompous jerk off the bat. On redirect, Elaine tries to rehab him with some questions. First question we get is, do drug addicts lie? What type of question is that? I have another question, Elaine, do humans lie? Like, what the actual hell type of question is that? I really hate the stigma that they are putting on drug use and drug addiction in this trial. And with this witness, especially as a psychiatrist, it's just not right. And I don't know, I think I'm a pretty average person, and I think the jury is probably like, this is not right, and this dude's a quack, and he's blanketing statements, making huge generalizations about a man that he has never even met. Like I said, go look at the post on Instagram, and you'll see what I thought. One thing that I did want to know was that if this orthopedic surgeon guy that testified before him was making $5,000 a day for testimony at trial, and he didn't come across as like super full of himself at all, this dude must at least be asking for $10K, am I right? Also another thing, he brought up Marilyn Manson. LOL, yet again. I like tweeted out, like, let's play a drinking game where we take a shot every time one of Amber Heard's witnesses unnecessarily brings up Marilyn Manson. And then somebody was like, should we make it a shot every time Elaine starts a question with what if any? Either way, we'd either be wasted or probably dead. So quickly, I'm going to play you guys a clip of just like a compilation of this dude's answers on cross. And I think you'll understand why I felt the way I did.
It is a requirement of the APA. It is not the requirement of the APA. Secondarily,
so the answer is no.
Secondarily, we wasted our whole morning because there was an expert witness before me. I am not going to sit here and disagree with you and waste everyone's time. So tell me where you want me to end this.
So he was a pretty disagreeable witness. If you heard that, I think you'd agree with me, right? All right, so we get to our last witness of the day, another in-person witness. So good job, Amber. You actually had a less boring day than usual. And we get to Catherine Arnold. Now, Catherine Arnold was probably the most boring witness of the day, and she was actually the longest. She was an expert in the entertainment industry and was testifying to economic damages, both for Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. At the outset, I just got to say, it's a wild move that she's going to testify to how Johnny Depp didn't have any damages and how Amber Heard had a ton of damages. I wonder if that's because they're running out of time. I really don't know. Having her do both is a big no-no. It doesn't seem normal. You'll see. Usually you don't have one expert testify on how Johnny's damages are non-existent, and then another expert would testify and say these are Amber Heard's huge damages. So this was a lot, and it was, like I said, super boring, guys, so I'll try to break it down as simply as possible, but try to stay with me. I heard the jury was kind of sleeping during this, too. Overall, I actually thought this witness started off well. I was like, okay, she's making some points. It seems like, she seems pretty credible, but on cross, she fell apart, and she looked like a total idiot. So let's hear. Basically, they talk about Johnny's damages first and how there basically were none. She talked about how his agent said he was tardy all the time, starting in 2010. She talks a lot about the testimony of other witnesses. She talks about how drugs played a role in that. She points out a few things that she says began the downturn of his career. She points to him being drunk at the 2014 Hollywood Film Awards, that he didn't come to the premiere of Mordecai because he was asleep, and that the litigation because he allegedly punched some dude on the set of a movie. Then she talks about a few articles in the Hollywood Reporter in 2017 and 2018. So this is all pre-op-ed, obviously. They're trying to say he was already in the downfall before. So she talked about how the case in the UK was bad for him, especially with a family-friendly company like Disney, saying, you know, they would have had issues hiring him after he was being branded as a wife beater in the UK. She also brings up the litigation against that dude, that former business manager, Joel Mandel, we heard from. We heard from him last Thursday. Remember I mentioned to you guys that Johnny had sued him because he thought he embezzled money from him? Well, yeah, so this woman is saying it's a bad look for Johnny Depp to sue someone who he believes stole a lot of money for him. I hate this lady. She also says that Pirates 6 wasn't a loss for Johnny because it was never made, so he couldn't have lost money from something that was never made. Now, remember this because she has some different points to make about Amber and her future projects that never happened, and that's why I said it was bad for this witness to testify on both of these issues here, like Johnny's damages and Amber's damages. She also claims that the op-ed had no effect on his career and reputation and that the industry didn't even notice about the op-ed until he sued Amber. So again, she's like blaming the victim here. She's like, it's your fault that you sued somebody for wronging you and that's why you have bad publicity. Man, I don't know. She says he wasn't damaged because between 2018 and 2020, or December 2018 and December 2020, he did one indie film, Minamata. And he still had the Dior Sauvage campaign. Again, remember these two things when we talk about Amber Heard's damages, too. So she's basically saying he really wasn't damaged because he still had this one campaign and made this one indie film. She says it had no effect on his fan following, which honestly might be the only thing true that she said today. Because people who have known about this and thought it was crap from day one, they've backed him all the way. And more have come since. She says that since the damage to, he caused the damage to his own career by bringing this lawsuit, and I genuinely cannot stand this argument, guys. So yeah, you should just let like some asshole walk all over you because it might bring some negative press your way, and you may not be able to, you know, win your defamation case if you ever bring one. Like, no, this argument makes no sense. Then we hear about Amber's damages. And remember, her damages, or at least she claims her damages, are a result of the statements made by Adam Waldman in April and June of 2020. This witness also, I have to point this out, she kept calling these statements defamatory statements. And I was surprised that Johnny's team didn't object to this, because that's like a legal conclusion. You know, they're trying to decide if these statements are defamatory. And her saying in her, you know, in her testimony that they are, is even if they're not supposed to take it as true, it still is just like puts that in their mind. And that's usually something they object to. Also, another thing like that, Elaine was referring to these as the Depp Waldman statements. And I thought that they would argue about that, too, because it seems prejudicial to Johnny Depp, because it seems like they're making that connection between Johnny Depp and Adam Waldman. Because we know Adam Waldman made the statements. They still have to prove this connection that Adam Waldman did so, like, basically at the direction of Johnny Depp. So, like, by putting them in, like, Depp Waldman statements, it kind of already implies that. So I thought it was strange that they didn't object to this. So first, she's talking about how amazing Amber Heard's career was even before Aquaman. Like, you guys can have your own opinions. I fully fucking disagree with this lady. But regardless, she said Amber Heard's career was on the precipice of a meteoric rise after Aquaman. She says Aquaman was her Star Is Born moment. Yeah, that's she literally said those words. It's a her Star Is Born moment. She explained how Adam Waldman's statements made social media blow up with negative tweets, and there was a negative social media campaign against her. She says it affected the L'Oreal campaign because L'Oreal would be harassed on the internet every time they posted something with Amber, and this made them hesitant to use her. She's asked about how it affected her reputation, and she goes, "That depends on who you ask." She says the executives wanted to use Amber. They loved Amber. They really loved her work. They loved her acting. Give me a fucking break, really. But they said they couldn't use her anyway because of the bad press. Oh, okay, that's not why. It's not because she was just like a lying sack of shit in the press, right? Okay. She's also admits that they still have a contract with her, L'Oreal. It was extended. Although she hasn't been paid, it was still extended. But again, Amber Heard wasn't fired. So basically, then she gets into after the Waldman statements, and she says the only thing that Amber Heard could get was an indie film. And immediately I'm like, yeah, so like you said, how after the op-ed, the only movie that Johnny Depp was the indie film Minamata. She was only able to get an indie film. You are using this fact that she could only get an indie film as proof that she was damaged, and yet you are using it to show that Johnny Depp was not damaged. I don't know, man. What are you trying to say here? She also starts to, like, you know, calculate her damage number by saying, you know, Aquaman 1, she made $1 million. In Aquaman 2, she made $2 million. So she's like, obviously, this was just continue doubling every movie she made. Like, 4, 8, 16. That's about as far as my math goes. Then we get to the best part, guys. It's the part that anyone listening was like, excuse me, what did you just say? She said that when she was determining the dollar amount that Amber Heard was damaged in, she used other actors, similar actors to Amber Heard, to compare, you know, their trajectory, their arc of success to hers. Want to hear some of the top three that I think were most memorable? Number one, Jason Momoa. Number two, Gal Gadot, or as you may know her, Wonder Woman. And one more example, and this is the best one, Zendaya. Yes, you heard that right. She compared Amber Heard to these three actors to determine how much Amber Heard was worth, basically. And if that's not the biggest joke that I've ever heard, then I don't know what is. We'll get there on Cross, don't worry. Basically, she says that she also lost the TV show The Stand, which she would have made $2 million for. Overall, her calculation of damage to Amber Heard was $45 million. Yeah, $45 million. So she came to the conclusion that the megastar Johnny Depp lost no money as a result of the defamation, but that Amber Heard lost somehow $45 million because of statements made by Adam Waldman. Cool, that makes sense. It's just laughable, in my opinion. It's just laughable. Like, if this woman hadn't acted like Amber Heard was an Oscar-winning actress, then maybe like we could believe her, but she's so unrealistic in what she says. Like, lady, come on. You know that this is like garbage, right? But anyway, we get to cross with Attorney Dennison. And I know a lot of people don't like him, like on cross and compare him to Camille, but let's be real. He does get the job done. At the end of like, you're like, wow, that expert really sounded like an idiot, right? So that's really the most important thing. He started with pointing out that she really can't make a causal connection between Adam Waldman's statements and the decline in Amber Heard's career. And really the only thing that she can point to is the timeline, you know, that it happened after. That's not really enough here, guys. They also get her on her relying on the social media experts' findings too much. That guy Schnell that we heard from last week that said Amber Heard. They're like, well, those hashtags like Amber Heard is an abuser, or we just don't like you, Amber, or how about Amber Heard, aren't in Adam Waldman's statements, are they? So how can you connect those hashtags and those numbers that guy said were connected to this when he, none of the words that Adam Waldman said are in that, are in those hashtags? What are you talking about? He also is like, so Adam Waldman didn't say anything about defecating in a bed, right? LOL. Bring up the bed shitting incident as often as possible, please. Amber Heard took a dump in Johnny Depp's bed. Everybody needs to know about it. Okay, so then he got on her about those actor comparisons. And we're just going to do one because it's funny. We're going to talk about Zendaya. And he said this, and I actually thought it when she said it. You're literally comparing her to somebody who goes by their first name, like iconic. We're talking about like Prince here, you know? So they're also comparing her to somebody who's 10 years younger than her, who has been on Disney since she was 13 years old, who has won an Emmy, and who has been in like many Spider-Man movies and, as many of you know, Euphoria. I mean, this comparison is an insult to her, to Zendaya, and we are sorry because you are amazing, girl, and this Amber Heard is a zero. But basically, the point is that you're comparing her career to the main characters of all these films, Jason Momoa. I mean, although Zendaya was not a main character in Spider-Man, I think we can all agree that her career is way, way, way better than Amber Heard's, and also Wonder Woman. So you're comparing her to all these people when, like, she had no leading roles herself. So, like, what are you doing? She also doesn't even know these actors' filmographies. And whenever she's asked questions about their background, she's like, well, I'm not really a fan of them. And it's like, dude, it's your fucking job to do this. It's your fucking job to know this. You literally said that you use them as comparisons to get to your number of $45 million and how much you would have made in endorsements and how much you would have made on sequels and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I just think that that's total nonsense. And specifically, we also saw some questions about someone named Walter Hamada. Now, this is going to come up later. Walter Hamada is the president of DC-based film production for Warner Bros. So basically, in his deposition, this dude said that Warner Brothers' decision not to exercise the option in Amber Heard's contract for Aquaman 2 had nothing to do with Johnny Depp. It was totally unrelated. And this was setting the stage for a rebuttal witness, because this dude's testimony in his deposition is going to be brought up. I'll tell you guys later. I have the list of people who are expected to testify on rebuttal. We'll get to that soon at the end. As we know, this woman is testifying that her issues with WB and the Aquaman contract, she's saying they are because of Johnny Depp. Meanwhile, the guy at WB himself is like, no, 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 that's not true. So I'm not going to lie. Cross went way longer than it needed to. And I don't know if they were doing this on purpose as a strategy, but Elaine did get to redirect her. It really wasn't anything exciting. It was everything that we've heard already. But she finished it in about 10 minutes. And actually, during that 10 minutes, the judge literally had to be like, she couldn't figure out how to lay a foundation again. And the judge was like, ask her how she knows. Like, let's just tell the trial attorney how to ask questions because she can't figure it out and I'm fucking tired of being here. So it was just another Elaine moment. Oh my God. Also, Elaine asked the Disney alpaca question again. Guys, I don't get it. Make it make sense. So that was pretty much the end of the testimony. Not pretty much. It was the end of the testimony for today. Got a couple things to talk about. First, I told you guys there was a little fight outside. It wasn't a little fight, but outside of the courthouse last night. The one fight I saw was just a verbal argument, and it was basically between this woman who had her goddamn baby there, and she was yelling at people for cutting the line or something. And it was like really dumb. But That woman got into court today, and let me tell you what happened. During one of the breaks, this lady with a baby got forcibly removed from court because she had an outburst. It was after the jury left, so the jury didn't see this, but she was like, "Johnny, our souls are connected. What if you're the father of this baby?" Like, yup, guys, this shit is fucking wild, and that happened. Confirmed, the lady and the baby are fine, but that's pretty wild, though. So that lady got her wristband revoked, so she's not coming back into that courtroom. Like I said, at the end of this day, Johnny Depp has almost, he's like 9 minutes short of 16 hours left, and Amber Heard has 4 hours left. This is a serious problemo for Amber Heard, to say the fucking least. First of all, let's talk about how they will 100% run out of time to cross-examine some of Johnny Depp's rebuttal witnesses. I bet he will put up some of the less important rebuttal witnesses first, so they waste their time with the cross of them. Then they're going to get up to their hard-hitting rebuttal witnesses, and it'll be Johnny Depp, main character vibes, no cross, nothing from Elaine. It'll be amazing. It's going to be the uninterrupted, no commercial breaks Johnny Depp show. Can you imagine how mad Amber Heard's going to look when Kate Moss, supermodel Kate Moss, ex of her ex who is suing her, is testifying and saying what a wonderful man he is, and her attorney is not going to be able to ask any cross-examination questions? It's going to be amazing, guys. Also, at the end of the day today, Amber Heard did not rest her case. So I don't know who on earth they're going to call tomorrow, but they're going to have to call somebody. You know, this last witness in particular was about her counterclaim. She wasted a lot of time in this trial trying to prove her counterclaim. And to be honest, she didn't do it because, like we talked about, so even if she can prove that Adam Waldman's statements were defamatory and did damage her, she still has to make that connection that Adam Waldman was making those statements, you know, under his employment of Johnny Depp or at the direction of Johnny Depp. And they have not done that. They have not proven that. So they wasted a lot of time here with that. I mean, they really screwed themselves with time, guys. I said this in one of the earlier episodes, and I truly didn't imagine time management would be this much of a problem with seasoned lawyers, but holy hell, if Johnny Depp doesn't have a huge advantage right now, I mean, huge. and like I said, I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know if they have any other witnesses. Apparently, they must have somebody, like I said, since they didn't rest. I would hope that for the sake of Elaine and Rottenborn's legal careers, they will rest as early as possible tomorrow and save as much time as they can for Johnny's rebuttal witnesses cross-examination. But, you know, who knows? Also, so do you remember how when Johnny Depp rested his case, Amber Heard's team made a motion to dismiss, or I think it's like called a motion to strike there, but basically they made a motion and it says they didn't meet their burden of proof, so you should just dismiss the case now. So obviously we know when Amber Heard's team did that, and I told you guys that's standard. But when Amber Heard's team did that, it got dismissed. You know, their motion got denied because they were like, because Johnny Depp's team did meet his burden. But now this time around, now that when Amber rests her case, Johnny's going to make that same motion saying, yo, she didn't prove her counterclaim. She didn't prove that. Basically, they're going to say she didn't prove this connection between Adam Waldman and Johnny Depp to prove that there is that agency and vicarious liability. And I don't know what'll happen, but there is a definite chance that the judge could dismiss her counterclaim before it even goes to the jury. So we'll have to see. Let's see. Oh, here, something that I've always said from the beginning. The first and the last thing the jury hears is the most important. It's what they will remember. So if the last thing the jury hears is Johnny's witnesses with no cross, Amber Heard's team is in a lot of trouble, and they're already in a lot of hot water. So before we end for the day, let me tell you who we think is going to be testifying on rebuttal for Johnny. This is reported by Court TV today, so if it's not accurate, you know, sorry in advance, but this is what we got. We have somebody named Dr. David Shaw. I'm not exactly sure what his specialty is, but I can look it up. I'll tweet it out for you guys tomorrow if you want to look, although he'll probably be up pretty early tomorrow. But number two, we have somebody, Dr. Kim Collins. She is a forensic pathologist. Now, a forensic pathologist is the real type of expert that you want to speak on causation of the injury to Johnny's finger. So this will be an interesting witness. Again, though, like I said, I don't really know why this is that important, but it seems very personal. Number three, we have a rep from the Los Angeles Children's Hospital. Let's fucking go. They're gonna, you know, break down Amber Heard's charity donations even further than she's already, you know, I mean pledge, right? They're the same. Then we have Walter Hamada. I told you this is the guy from WB. I mentioned him earlier. He's going to be via deposition. Then we have somebody named Morgan Knight. This is a person from the Hicksville night from the trailer incident, the trailer park incident. You know, when they said that that Johnny Depp grabbed Kelly Sue's arm and said, do you know how much pressure it takes to break a wrist? Because that happens in real life. Then we also are going to hear from somebody named Dr. Kolber. This was Johnny Depp's actual hand doctor, so that'll be interesting. I'm sure that's not going to go too well for Amber. Jennifer Howell, we talked about her. She's the one that's going to basically debunk all of Whitney's testimony. Kate Moss, no explanation needed for her, right? Brian Neumeister, I've mentioned him. He's the metadata expert that's going to talk about how the metadata didn't line up on those photos. Then we have Lydia Philipp. This is an exciting one, guys. The flight attendant on that flight to Moscow. Remember, there was this whole story about how they took drugs with the flight attendant. And Johnny also grabbed her wrist and said the thing about breaking a wrist. I mean, come on, this should have been one of Amber's witnesses, right? Like, to be like, yeah, that's what happened. Apparently, we're getting it for Johnny, I can only imagine she's going to say that's not what happened. We're also going to hear from Dr. Curry, of course, and Johnny Depp is also on their witness list, but I don't know if we'll get to him. I think he's just on there. So that's where we are right now, guys. I assume tomorrow Amber Heard is going to rest her case pretty early and that Johnny's going to start his rebuttal. That's going to be really exciting. So if you're enjoying the show, please, please, please give it a rating and review if you have a minute. And please keep reaching out with all your great insight and comments and questions. I really love to hear from all of you. And don't forget to follow the show on social media. Twitter, we have at LDBlondePod, and Instagram. Also, just don't forget to check out the highlight reel on Instagram because I think that has some interesting stuff. But it's Legally Dirty Blonde Pod. And remember, until tomorrow, Legally Dirty Blondes have more fun.